So here's my challenge. If anyone, and you can give this to me in any way, okay? If someone gives me a PSD file, so it's like a design or a JPEG, but basically a landing page design or an HTML template for a landing page, and we implement this and it beats James's template across lead pages, I'm awarding $3,000. So, you know, if I can't beat you, Shramco, I'm gonna fund someone else.
This is Super Fast Business with James Shramco.
James Shramco.
Helping you build your business super fast.
James Shramco here from superfastbusiness.com. Thank you so much for coming back and listening to this podcast. As you know, I love to interview business experts to find out their take, and all of these podcasts are absolutely free. What I want to do is to serve the business community, to put some good ideas out there, to inspire other entrepreneurs, and to help you grow your business as I communicate what's working in mine. Now, one of the greatest innovations that I've come across in recent times is this lead pages technology. I've become very good friends with the inventor, the founder, the man, the extraordinaire, and that is Clay Collins, who I've had back on this show many, many times, and that's because he always delivers. He's always got something new. And I'd like to welcome to the show Clay Collins.
James, thank you so much for having me. I feel very at home here, and I think I actually enjoy being on your podcast more than I like being on my podcast. So thanks for having me back again.
Well, we've got the warm, comfy chair and the little milk and cookies there in the corner for you. So enjoy the cocoa. Enjoy the ride. Now, I'm not even sure what to call you these days. You're like a fancy funded VC backed super company now. What's your company called?
So the company's called Lead Pages, and so recently we raised $5 million in venture capital, and it's not something that I'm proud of what we did to receive the funding, but I'm not proud of getting funded per se. I think what was pretty amazing was not that we got funded, but the size of our bank account when we did get funded. We didn't take this money because we needed the money. We did this because we wanted the strategic partnerships that came with it and a whole host of other things. I'm still a bootstrapper at heart. And in a lot of ways, our approach to business is very bootstrappy. So it's something that is going to help our customers a lot. And, I like to say to our customers that this gives them even more of a right to complain about the features that they want, additional features that they want, and to advocate for their pet features down the road. So I'm super proud of what we did to get here. And one thing, when we got funded by the Foundry Group, which in my opinion is one of the top three early stage venture capital firms, we were in TechCrunch, we were in VentureBeat, we were in the Wall Street Journal, we were like in all these places. And on one hand, I'm grateful for the PR opportunity, right? It's something that I'm glad we have. But on the other hand, as someone who still identifies as a bootstrapper and thinks like a bootstrapper, I'm very sad that there's this built-in PR opportunities for venture-backed companies that bootstrapped companies don't get. That when a venture-backed company raises money, they get to be published in all these significant places. And honestly, when we were bootstrapped, there are things we did that were much more significant than getting funded that we never got PR coverage for. So I have mixed feelings about sort of people congratulating us for getting funded, but I don't have mixed feelings about whether or not this was the right direction for our company.
Right. Well, you've made it clear that you were already making good money and you had explosive growth. And if someone were to go back and listen to our first discussions, we would have sort of got that early germination. You had the lead player, I think was our first chat, and then you progressed into lead pages. The thing about lead pages that's so cool is that it forces you to have an offer. You have something that you can measure. You get an opt-in, and you're able to then track that opt-in and to see how much sales it's making. And you've got these built-in analytics tools and the ability for a customer to hold you accountable for a return on investment. And that's why I love the tool, because I can now take my offer and I can put it in the most popular places on the side of my WordPress blog, in my Facebook page. And the ability for a customer to see what they're getting is such a revelationary thing, which wasn't so prevalent with the video player. Sure, you can see video plays or whatever, but to see an opt-in percentage and to see that funnel grow into a customer is exciting. So I'd love to talk about your take on the conversions aspect, the tools that you've given customers to be able to see that. I also want to report back in from our last discussion, the PDF tip you gave me to put the transcription in a PDF, even though it's published on the post, we're still getting opt-ins over 60%, sometimes over 70%, but almost always over 55% for that one thing. And I had my record 30-day opt-ins, and I'm sure that it's a result of that because I pretty much was traveling for the whole month. So it's not like I was sitting here 9 hours a day, you know, driving people to that page. I was just doing my usual thing, maybe even a little less, just a piece of content every few days, doing what I call own the race course, which I give away for free on this website. But that was a record month, and I think it's this highly segmented, targeted opt-in of which I'm tracking interest now. So I know that when I build out my sequences later around customer preferences, this has been a fantastic innovation. I encourage listeners, make sure you're doing this on your site.
It's really cool because, you know, as someone who has influence over the software product, we get to use it ourselves. And I actually have the same experience. So everyone who's listening, if you listen to the previous podcast or the previous thing that James and I did together, I kind of talked over this kind of revolution that happened on our website where we were able to triple our opt-in rate across our entire blog by offering with every blog post a customized opt-in that came just with that blog post. And we created some features in lead pages around this. And for the first time in years, we had growth that was this big in our opt-ins. And it sounds like, James, you've had some similar experiences. So I'd encourage everyone to go and listen to that previous video that we created around creating a customized opt-in with every blog post, because it has been huge. And it really just goes back to kind of what drives us as a business. We have combined in lead pages, we've combined one, an analytics tool. So it makes it very easy to track opt-in rates and things like that in lead pages. So we combined an analytics tool, a split testing tool, and a landing page builder. And I noticed that as much as we hear about the importance of split testing and analytics and tracking, that so often, you know, getting that code on all your pages and running the split tests, it's very, very difficult when you've got a separate analytics tool and a separate split testing tool and a separate landing page builder. And by combining these, we're trying to make people obsessed about their opt-in rates and about their split tests. And so that's the upside, is that there's that benefit. But the downside is that every time someone logs into lead pages, they're seeing analytics on their pages. And so what that means is that we have to provide ROI if we want to maintain our customers, because every day they're opting in and they're seeing, or they're logging into lead pages and they're seeing how many opt-ins they're getting. They're seeing their conversion rates. And we only exist and survive as a business to the extent that people look at those analytics and determine that they're getting their return on investment on the money that they're paying for lead pages. So we're obsessive about those stats. And for better or for worse, we've made them available to everyone. And so we as a platform are sort of accountable to those stats.
But you also share it, right? You've got crowdsourced templates. I know that I put a template in there. Other people have. And you can actually sort by conversion on all of the different templates you've got. So I'm just wondering what that marketplace looks like these days.
Damn you, Shramco. So one thing you can do in lead pages is you can sort the templates in lead pages by average conversion rate. So it means across the entire lead pages platform, you can sort and see which templates are producing the highest opt-in conversion rate. And funny enough, the webinar page from James Shramco is getting the highest conversion rate. So we've produced like over 50 templates now inside of lead pages. And the one that you gave to us is beating them all. And, you know, I've mixed emotions about this. On one hand, I want to win, right? But on the other hand, I'm glad that all of our customers have access to the to your webinar registration page template, because it's outconverting everything else. And it is, it gets under my skin, because the highest converting page across all of lead pages is your page, and the highest converting webinar registration page template is yours, and the highest converting opt-in page is one from Charles Kirkland. And so as much as I'd like to pride myself as being really good at this stuff, it just kills me that that you and Charles, obviously both complete pros, are dominating in these two categories. So I'm trying to beat you, and so personally, I'm trying to beat you.
We're all trying to beat ourselves too, you know. Like, it is a conspiracy, though. I have to be open and tell you that Charles Kirkland is a member of my Silver Circle, and he drives a lot of traffic.
Oh,
and
God.
You know, like, the two of us are very inspired to have the best converting pages, the best lead funnels. And I know that there's probably a bit of interest. I reckon if you put a challenge out there, Clay, you would probably get someone to knock off our template.
So here's my challenge. If anyone, and you can give this to me in any way, okay? If someone gives me a PSD file, so it's like a design or a JPEG, but basically a landing page design or an HTML template for a landing page, and we implement this and it beats James's template across lead pages, I'm awarding $3,000. So, you know, if I can't beat you, Shramco, I'm gonna fund someone else who does. And personally, I'm trying to knock you off. But if someone else does, I think you need to be dethroned for a bit, if only to motivate you to give me something else.
It does motivate me. You know, like, many years ago, I refined the Belcher button, and I had the Shramco button that outconverted the Belcher button. And nice. I made it available for download, and it was inspired on the Belcher button. And then recently at the Entreport conference, I shared my affiliate sequence, which boosted my affiliate commissions 1,000%. And you have some insight into my affiliate potential for a business. So when I concentrate on something, I can really inspire results. And they're now sharing that with Entreport users who sell one or more sale of their product. So
nice.
I want to have the highest converting, the most successful, the most profitable sequence, device, technique in every field. Sure, let's bring it on. So we'll publish this episode. I'm sure you're going to get some submissions, and everyone who is a Lead Pages customer will benefit when that template gets beaten, because there'll be a new standard. So I celebrate the progress of the entrepreneur. What else have you got coming through the system for us?
Well, one thing we've got coming is that Justin Brook, who works with Rich Sheffrin, just posted a competitor to your page. So we're going to do that. But sort of on a different front, we recently added the ability for at least with some templates, and we're rolling this out on more and more templates each week, but we added the ability to collect additional fields. So if someone wants to collect like zip codes, or they want to add a survey to the opt-in box, or ask people what their favorite color is, or have some radio buttons and things like that, we've added that. So kind of somewhat surprisingly, we've grown to multiple thousands upon thousands of customers with only the ability to collect name and email. But I'm happy to report now that people, you know, in the real estate industry can now collect zip codes and addresses for people who opt in, and people in the insurance business can collect other fields as well.
Yeah, and I want to be collecting phone numbers for SMS.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So we're super pleased that we've added this. And it's something that was a long time coming. I think it was one of those things where we wanted to do it in the right way. Like, it's, you know, like Apple kind of remarked that a lot of people were going to do this watch thing, and Apple didn't just want to, and I don't purport to be Apple or Steve Jobs or Tim Cook or any of these people, but
come on, Clay. But I kind of, everyone knows you are the new Steve Jobs. You like, look at you on this trajectory. Everyone talks about you behind your back. Clay, he's like
that's
he's
awesome.
The next Steve Hopefully Jobs.
Well, it's fun to be here. It's a fun run. We'll see how long it lasts. But you know, like, Nokia, for example, it came out with the phone first, and a lot of people came out with the MP3 player before, you know, Apple came out with the iPod. And so we're less concerned with doing things first and more concerned with doing them right. And so I think people are going to be super pleased with the way we've allowed people to add multiple form fields across all our integrations. And we wanted to do it right. And we're just starting out with this solution, and we're going to make it even more robust over time. But we're glad people don't have to wait anymore to collect a zip code or a phone number or an address field or all of these things.
And also, so it's, for your sales pages, you can easily link to a payment processor or a shopping cart.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, you can absolutely, yeah. So some things require integrations and other things don't. So for example, if you want to just like link to PayPal and take payment on PayPal, you can do that. It doesn't require an integration. Our preference is that when we can do an API level integration, that we do it. And we just hired someone who's going to be doing nothing but integrations. So we expect to add 20 plus integrations in the next 6 months or so. So look for us to add a whole lot of deep API level integrations, including with payment processors. But that said, we support every single shopping cart, and it doesn't require an integration for that to work. A lot of times people ask for integrations when an integration isn't necessary, right? It's just a link.
Is that good? People like to make things harder than they need to be.
Yeah, I think they do.
It's
I think
like
they do.
Technically, they don't even need a website. They just need a lead pages account, drive their maybe redirect a domain to it, and that they are in business. They can now be offering the ability for someone to join their list or to be contacted. So it really is like the shortest possible path to having an online presence with an offer is to have a lead pages account. That's it. And then beyond that, it's like optional.
Yeah, I mean, I see people all the time getting ready to launch their product and they don't even have a domain yet. They just kind of like published the page on lead pages and they're driving like Facebook traffic to it. And, you know, it works out really well. People like to make things really complicated. Like, for example, a lot of times when people are going to launch a product, the first thing they do is obsess about the logo and what should be on the logo. Like it's just absurd, right? Like you should the last thing you should be thinking about
like the business cards or the shop front the shop front signage, like the big foam board that goes behind the counter for their staff in this office, and they don't even know what they sell yet. I'm like, whoa!
Yeah, we have over 7,000 customers now, and I'll tell you this. We have over 7,000 customers now and $5 million in venture capital, not to mention the money that we already had in our bank account. I still don't have business cards. I think, you know, we just ordered some now, so I should get some in a few days. And when we first launched, everyone said they hated our logo. People might still hate our logo, but I started thinking about this and I was like, you know what? The New York Times logo is a font. The Google logo is a font. Time Magazine's logo is a font. Facebook's logo is a font. Like if you need to come up with a logo, just go into your WordPress processor, pick a font and type out the name of your brand and just be done with it. And that's kind of the approach we take with these things is just like just get started. And it's people's ability to BS themselves into thinking they're not ready to just do what they need to do that I think holds them back,
okay,
you know?
So and I want to tackle this line a little bit about this is a mindset thing. What has changed for you since you have become funded? Does it make you feel different as a business owner? Has it put you under different pressures having this rapid growth or entering into new zones?
Yeah, it's a really good question. We raised funding for a few reasons. One of the reasons was that we were growing so fast and hiring so many people. And we were profitable and our profit margins were increasing, but I just wanted that extra insurance there that in good times and in bad, like I knew we had a little wiggle room. I also wanted to spend more into our profits. So I wanted us to be profitable, but I didn't want us to optimize only for profit. So now I feel comfortable like basically breaking even as a company. We can reinvest 100%. Of what we make back into the profit, as opposed to having to hold more and more of that back every time we hired a new employee so that we could self-fund our own runway. I also feel like we get to think out a little bit further in advance. So before, I'd be thinking out maybe like 1 or 2 months, and I could take on a certain amount of risk in terms of what we experimented with. Now I feel like I can think out, you know, about 6 months out in advance. And strategically, I'm thinking like 2-3 years out in advance. But in terms of like tactically in our marketing, I'm thinking 6 months out in advance. And I'm able to take bigger risks than I otherwise would. But in terms of how this affects customers, I really want to say here that not much is going to change from our customer's point of view other than improving our customer service. I think we have good customer service, but it's going to be even better. And sort of the rate of progress of features that are added to lead pages. So we're going to be adding features faster, and the platform is just going to get much, much better for you. So the funding we took, it was for a minority non-controlling stake in the company. And so it's not like all of a sudden someone's going to come in and start like telling us what to do. We are still a product, hyper obsessed about our product and hyper obsessed about our customers. And instead of like only having 20 people hyper focused on you, you know, we might have 30 people or something hyper focused on the product being awesome and you getting more success and, you know, getting more customer support and service and things of that nature.
Well, I love how focused you are on the customer stuff. And we were talking a little bit earlier off air about some customer sequences that I've been rolling out that really capture the customer in the right window to be able to give them a better service. And I'm going to share those templates with you. And I hope that somehow benefits the community as well. So what sort of information do you get access to when you get funded? I mean, obviously there's money, but you're doing this for the advice, the information. What's the big shift that you get access to that a bootstrap company is missing out on? Like what, maybe you could rephrase it as a couple of tips for bootstrappers that you've now learned.
Yeah. You know, I think that honestly, it, like I said before, is about the relationships. I wouldn't say that there's, I can't really distill it down to a number of points. And it's not that bootstrappers can't get access to this information. It's that it's probably a little bit harder to get access to the information. And it's harder to get someone who's grown, honestly, without giving up some level of equity. It's hard to get someone who's launched multiple billion-dollar companies and done multiple IPOs with a SaaS business, with a SaaS software business, it's hard to get that kind of person to hyper-focus on your company without them having a significant stake, right? So like someone who's had multiple billion-dollar exits probably isn't going to care about the average SaaS startup if they're getting like half a point or a point of equity, right? A percentage point of equity. Like they need a majority stake and they need to be not a majority stake, but they need a significant stake.
So you're basically buying access to proven templates, frameworks, systems, thinking, and like you just, it's like getting a hit maker on board who's going to get you a bigger whole sum, even less the part that you give back.
Yeah, I'd say this is primarily about speed. So there's this guy, Paul Graham, who writes really amazing essays. He's the guy who started Y Combinator. And he has this interesting essay called Startups Equal Growth. And the truth is that everything that we're doing, we could do without venture capital, but it wouldn't happen as fast. And this is primarily about speed. And often speed matters in competitive environments, you know, in instances where there are network effects and they're kind of like winner take all types of things. And I don't know that the market we're in is a winner take all kind of thing by any means. I think there's a space for a lot of people, but this is primarily about speed. So this is about speed of access to other people. So for example, there was a key CEO of a company that I wanted an introduction to. I went to Seth, the guy at the Foundry Group, the venture, one of the venture capital firms that invested to us. And I said, hey, do you know this person? He's like, yeah, I actually sit on the board with someone else who's on their board. Let's just do an intro. And that happened incredibly fast. I got that intro. I went to someone else that was in their portfolio companies. And actually I went to the whole email list of people that are CEOs and executives of their companies. And I said, hey, I need a SaaS dashboard for this very specific kind of business, and can you help me out with this? And I had like, you know, 10, 15 responses immediately of people who are doing like, you know, 7, 8 figures a month, talking about their growing pains, what had happened, how it happened. And so these are things where I could have struggled for intros, and I could have struggled for these things to happen, or I could have struggled to get the capital together through bootstrapping to make some of the hires that we're making. But I'm glad that we're able to speed this up a little bit. And I'm happy to give up non-controlling amount of equity to get access to the money we have but most importantly, the advice that we have and the speed of the network to make these things happen. So I still feel like a bootstrapper at heart. And I am by no means saying that you can't do what we've done without venture capital. You absolutely can. It's just about sort of the route you want to take and how you want to go about doing it. There are some very controversial opinions about venture capital, pros and cons. And I really don't want to, and I know you're not trying to get me into this, but I don't want to.
Put it this way. I'm in the camp where I couldn't care less about venture capital or have someone give me money. I've had people try and give me money, but I'm like this. I'm all about no compromise, and I'm happy to take a long approach. I'm making gains here. I don't care if it takes me a while. And I think my greatest competitor is me and my mindset. So I'm not in the same space as you with SaaS software, where it's a speed race or whatever. I'm in coaching and I'm in services, which is always people heavy. And my team are amazing with websites and stuff. So I don't really know your space. I'm not into startups. One of my recent guests was Dane from the foundation. We're talking about, you know, the part where someone starts and gets it up to the point where I'm interested in helping them grow their business. So I work with the business growth market. But it's not my sphere. It's not the world I work in, which is why I'm interested in finding out about it through your eyes. Yeah. But I have no stake in the ground. I've got no real position on it. I don't love it or hate it. I really don't know about it.
Yeah. I mean, there's people who've been extremely burned by venture capitalists, and then there's people who have had a great experience. And, you know, I really think that people saying that it is good or bad, it's neither. It's almost like saying marriage is good or bad. Well, the truth is that marriage is millions of things to millions of people, and there's so many different ways to do it. And you know, the nature of venture capital investments is you can draw up the arrangement to be any way you want it to be. And there's a lot of room for creativity and for making something that's mutually beneficial. And I think it's important to remember that the nature of venture capital and VC investing has changed a lot recently. For example, the docs have become somewhat templated and standardized. Like, entrepreneurs have gotten together and agreed that certain certain types of financing
going
docs.
There, man. We've got to watch our explicit label.
certain types of financing docs are like entrepreneur friendly, and they've been vetted by the startup community. So if you want to do a deal, if you go with certain docs that have been mutually agreed upon, you don't have to agonize over every single detail. Like, these things have already been worked out. And so, and you have sites like The Funded. I believe it's called thefunded.org. You can just search for The Funded, but it's a website where entrepreneurs rate venture capitalists that they've taken investment from after the fact. And you can see which venture capitalists tend to be controlling, which ones tend to be mean, which ones are really cool even when your business isn't going so well. And you can see how they do business. And so you can – there's report cards that go both ways. And so the space is much, much different than it has been. And I'm optimistic, and I can say that, you know, we're not very far into this relationship, but so far it's going extremely well, and we've already gotten a ton of value out of it. And I couldn't be happier, both with the Foundry Group and Arthur Ventures, and also with kind of the process and what it's allowed our company to do. Even though ostensibly we didn't need the funding, it sort of freed us up in a lot of ways.
So if you had to do it all again, would you do the same?
Yeah, absolutely. I wouldn't have changed a thing. I absolutely have no regrets at this
point. And you knew this maybe, for a long time. I can remember very early this year you were heading off to Silicon Valley with stars in the eyes. Like you love that stuff, don't you?
I think that there is a community of people that are mobilized around focusing a lot of capital around interesting problems, mobilizing it very quickly, and creating a fast growth.
It's fun, isn't it? It's exciting.
It is fun, and it's more of a mindset than anything else. I think it's less about technology and more around an approach to thinking. Like if you look at companies like SpaceX and Tesla, like these aren't software companies, but yet they come from the same problem-solving approach that has emerged from Silicon Valley, the mobilization of capital that happens there around interesting ideas. And it's just it's a fun place to be. And there's a different group of people that exist there. They're no better or worse than, for example, the internet marketing space. And I still love internet marketing. Obviously, it's where we operate. And I still go to those conferences as well. And I still like going to Affiliate Summit and hearing about different ways that people are sort of testing things and different problem solving approaches. So I really love the hardcore, like income hacking, internet marketing world. And I like kind of this startup world as well. And I'm basically going to go anywhere where there are interesting ideas that push me to think bigger, because I think when we do that, our product gets better and helps everyone else
out. Okay, so on Think Bigger, and we'll wrap it up here. Did you imagine that your business would be this size at this point?
No, I hoped it was, or I hoped it would be. And energetically, I felt that it could be, but when we launched in January, I didn't think we would be here this soon. And I didn't think we'd have the penetration that we have, but I'm also not wired to celebrate success very much. So all I'm thinking is, hey, this is awesome and it's working like today, but what do we need to do to make sure that we're still providing value and growing this fast a month from now? And I stay up late at night thinking about what's going to happen 2 years down the road. So I think I enjoy the process a lot more than I enjoy any particular victory. I remember the day when we closed and that, that $5 million was wired to our bank account. And I basically just kind of passed out in exhaustion, and I wouldn't have it any other way. That's kind of the way I operate. But that to me wasn't the celebration. The celebration was, 1,000 different milestones that happened in route to that happening.
Yeah, that's it. The event of the money in your account, that is just an external label or recognition of all the stuff that went prior to that, really. Have you seen the Senna documentary?
No, I think it's called The Senna?
Senna, S-E-N-N-A, after the racing driver.
Oh, interesting.
This guy would race the car to its absolute limit. Even if he was 10 laps in front, he would not just safely coast to win. He would just drive to 10 tenths. There's nothing in between. He wouldn't have a bar of the current Formula One where you have to conserve tires and go slower than you really can. Like, I think you'd really enjoy that. I'd love to hear what you think when we catch up on the next call.
Yeah, I would. I'm definitely going to check it out. Yeah, I mean, I think it's what you said earlier. I mean, you said this. You said I'm competing with me, and that's I think how we like to think as a company. There's, we're not, I know there are some businesses that are kind of like commodity software businesses. We're not in the business of competing with someone else to create another product. We're in the business
when you
of getting
with
you
someone else, because it means that you wish you were them. It means that you're deferring to them. And I think we can only hope to, optimize ourselves to lift ourselves up to be even more value creation machines than what we are now, and to get that sense of satisfaction of putting it in. I know what it's like to hit your head on the pillow tired at the end of a long day and doing stuff that makes you feel rewarded. So, I could totally relate to what you're saying.
Awesome.
All right, now let's give something away to our listeners. How about we give away the webinar template that people could go and have a play with if they're not fortunate enough to have a LeadPages account?
Okay, cool. So we recently added a couple new webinar registration pages that are part of my mission to dethrone James Schramko here. So basically, I took our highest converting webinar registration pages, and there were elements of them all that were working well. So for example, a very high call to action, even a call to action in the header, right? Putting a call to action button in the header has worked really well. Adding a countdown timer to things, all things considered, pages with countdown timers outconvert pages without countdown timers. So I took the style of your page, James, and I added a countdown timer to it, and I added a high call to action, and we added the space for people to post more bullet points. And so there's this template that I think is going to dethrone you. It might not, because damn it, you're doing something right here. So it might not dethrone you, but let's give this away to people. In fact, there's two different ones that you can give away to people. You still need to code your own integrations and make it integrate with WordPress. And if you don't want to do all that yourself, Lead Pages is $37 a month, but we're still going to give these templates away.
And plus, I give a bonus away if you buy it. Buy it from me, I'll give you one of my recordings and one of my events. From, you know, there's a whole lot of stuff to choose from at buywithbonus.com. So
awesome!
All right, that'll be great. If you flick that over to me, I'm going to make it a download. I'll be using that special enter your email thing that we talked about, so customers can experience that.
Cool. Cool. Well, every time I hang out with you, James, our business team seems to get better. I don't know what happens, but maybe it's just like osmosis. I feel like just like there's this correlation between how much time I spend listening to you and how much money is in our bank account. So it's not osmosis. It's that you say smart things and we actually implement them. And we're trying to just scale you. Maybe that's what Lead Pages is. It's like we're trying to scale James Schramko because you give us a template and we put it in Lead Pages, and now thousands upon thousands of people are using that to get better opt-ins for their webinars. So maybe we should just create more software companies around scaling everything that you've taught me. And we'll all make a lot of money.
Wow, that's a lot of fun. Well, Clay, too kind, of course, as always. I want to thank you. And now one thing the listeners could not possibly know is that we recorded some stuff earlier and completely lost one side of it. And you, despite whatever crazy time, it must be like midnight or something where you are, you just said, hey, let's just record again. And that is a remarkable spirit. It's such an amazing thing that I don't think many people would do. And I just, again, you know, I want to say thank you for that. And let's get this up there. Send over the template. I'm going to send you some of my little customer follow-up sequences, and we'll hopefully catch up on a future episode to talk about what explosive growth, what amazing features are out from Lead Pages. So thank you so much, Clay Collins.
Yeah. Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait to get these templates in people's hands. And, you know, doing this again was just a pleasure. So I almost felt like it was a happy coincidence that I get to talk to you again, James. So thanks for everything.
See you, mate.
Discover how to build your business
super fast.
Check out superfastbusiness.com.